Hello, everybody, and welcome to the RUScreening.com podcast. I am your host, RUScreening.com's own Mark Eastman, and with me, as always, is co-host extraordinaire Shane Leonard.
Hello.
And this week, we are really kicking off the, big swing of awards. It's that time of year again,
yeah.
Which is utter insanity.
I don't even know what we're doing today.
I just realized
that
you don't need to know.
Okay, surprise me with it. We've actually seen a bunch of films in the last few days.
Right. So what we're doing today?
I don't even know what we're doing.
Right. There's no need for you. You just go in
just
the screening room
and I'll knock every once in a while and you come out. Pretty.
That's right.
That's all I'm doing.
We're gonna do Rules Don't Apply and Allied because they both came out this week. At least in. Limited release. I think they actually both came out wide.
I know Allied's wide.
But I'm lost at this point, right? Yeah. I don't know what's coming out.
Yeah.
There's a chance, I guess, we could throw out other movies depending on how much we go through stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm sure we could talk a lot about those. But so speaking of that, after this week and probably well into January, so for the rest of the year and then into January, we will probably be doing like 3 or 4 movies a week.
Yeah.
Anybody
who's been a long time listener knows this is our season.
We could probably do like 5 movies a week right now, except that everyone we did would just be like, okay, I liked it. Next.
Right.
I mean, because there's too much.
I remember somebody that I know listened to our show. I think it was last year. It might've been the year before. And they said, they're having fun with it. We do really well, which is surprising. I don't know why. I guess they think we're just idiots.
You're making
when
it
we're
out.
Not. No, no. And he said, but I thought you guys, when you started doing a bunch of films, when I looked and it was like 3, 4, and 5 films, I thought it was going to be boring and uninteresting. Because what he was saying is do the film. And if you got time for more, do that. But don't be like, okay, we saw this. Nah, that sucked. All
right.
What else?
Thumbs up.
You know, he's like, don't do a checklist. But I want to hear it. And I thought that was kind of neat because I thought that's what we did.
Right. Anyway,
yeah,
but it's, so coming up, this is a weird year and things have changed, right? The Critics' Choice Movie Awards is on December 11th this year.
Yeah.
And I imagine, that it seems like a good idea to me. It's just that it's problematic, right?
Right.
The idea is to move it a little bit away from the Golden Globes. Cause like the last 2 or 3 years, it has been like within days of the
really
Golden Globes
or
whatever.
Yeah.
And that just sucks. And then it's also, the Oscars are clearly February or whatever, but the Critics' Choice and the Golden Globes have always been like kind of mid-ish January or whatever. And so the idea is to distance yourself a little bit from the Golden Globes and have your own sort of time. But one of the things for me that that I like the move, right, is that the Critics' Choice Awards have for a really long time been the best predictor of the Oscars.
Yeah.
But the closer you get to the Golden Globes and the Oscars, it's not that fun to be the best predictor, right? If you're if we come out the day before the Oscars and we get everything right, we get everything the same, right? And we predict it perfectly. I mean, what difference does it make? You have like one day to revel in that accomplishment, and then it no one's paying attention anyway. So anyway, they're on December 11th, but I have to turn in nominations today.
Right.
By midnight. So
you're ready.
It's clearly award season at least for me.
Right.
And the show is on A&E and I think it's on something else like at the same time.
I was gonna say,
in case you don't get whatever.
I guess
but
makes
it's,
sense.
It's,
I thought it was something else.
Yeah, it's A&E. It was A&E last year and A&E apparently loves having the show.
Yeah.
And last year was the first year that everything's kind of together. Uh-oh.
Nothing.
So it's going to be TV and movie and the whole thing like the Golden Globes are.
Yeah.
Anyway, so before we get into Allied and Rules Don't Apply, and as I said, I have to warn you that, for the rest of the year, it's going to be a ton of movies.
Yeah.
But before we get into that, I was going to just quickly run through, since it's big time award season.
Yeah.
Movies to pay attention to, so that no one is completely surprised when nominations and awards start coming out.
Right.
And so I'm just going to go through the list like really quickly of what are some of the bigger things.
Not what's coming up next week and the week after.
Not like any order, just right. Like the things that people are talking about. And I'm only going to do best picture,
right?
Best actor and best actress. So just so people like have it in their mind, who are the people and movies and whatever that people are talking about a lot.
Right.
And, you know, there might be some surprises or whatever,
right.
But anyway, but before we do that, we got an email from Scott in Portland.
Portland, Maine? Portland, Oregon? Portland, who knows?
You have to ask Scott. I don't know. I'm going to guess that it's Portland, Maine.
Okay.
Because
you guys all the time.
No,
like,
yeah, right.
Quit letting your dog on my yard.
Yeah, because he goes, you know, Scott.
Yeah. And, actually, we'll probably get an email like that from somebody.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
All right. Hey, Scott.
But anyway, he kind of called us out.
I love it.
On our thing.
You did something.
It was both of us.
I don't
know. It was both of us because it's something that we didn't do. And he had some pretty serious exception to the fact that did not do it.
I
right?
love it. Let's hear it.
And so he wants us to
address
the issue.
Okay.
Because we left it alone, and Scott was not in love with Fantastic Beasts.
Okay.
Okay.
He's with me.
So he replied to our review of it.
Yep.
And he said that he was a little dismayed.
Yeah.
That neither one of us bothered to mention the mating dance that Newt Scamander did.
Yeah.
And
right.
I assume we didn't bag on it
right.
And we didn't bother to mention it at all.
Right.
So I just have to say, yeah, I kind of forgot to mention
this
that.
The show was only so long and we
right.
bag on only so many times.
Yeah. And
right.
And he reminded me because when I was watching the movie, you know, I don't take notes when I'm watching the movie or anything, right?
What are you doing on your phone all the time, then?
I'd
like to know what
Candy
that is.
Crush.
I thought you were like texting yourself.
The candy's not going to crush itself,
right?
Right.
People kick my chair because you're on the phone.
Yeah,
like,
that's
the
what
Corsican
happens.
Brothers.
So the craziness of that is that I really wanted to mention that, but then by the time we got to doing the show,
right.
You know, we're babbling, we're live.
We
chat room's open.
Yeah, we are. We do.
And I just forgot about it. And not only that, but I forgot about it. It's not like after the show was done, I went, oh, I mean,
right.
I didn't remember
right.
it until he
sometimes.
Emailed me.
We do that sometimes. We're like, oh man,
yeah.
I meant to say this. Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not exactly sure what Scott's looking for here, except that I did really hate that part of the movie.
Yeah.
I hated that part of the movie with like a fury, right? Not only was that a goofball gimmicky thing, it's a part within a part, right? It's the bigger part is just as stupid too,
right?
It's not like it's just that, right?
Right.
The whole lead up to it is awful, but the doing it itself, first of all, it's goofy. Even if it were something that you could try to argue made some sense, it's still done really goofy.
Yeah.
And it also doesn't make any sense.
It's for the kids.
It's a total goofy thing that you throw in for the kids, like almost because you threw a dart and that's what it hit. And you went, I have to put that in. It's a part of the movie that in a different movie, you would say, you know, the producers have a dollar bet whatever it is.
Right.
Like, I bet you can't get this into the screenplay somehow and get it to actually show up on the screen.
Yeah.
Except that you've got J.K. Rowling and she can get whatever she wants to show up on the screen.
Right.
But it's just it's totally stupid and it doesn't do anything anyway. It's just one of those things where I really wish that actors, it's one of those things. I say this every once in a while when we're doing the show, that I wish the actors would just,
yeah, I'm not doing that.
Not doing that. Right. You're going to have to figure something else out or get somebody else to be Newt's commander. I'm okay with that. But
I want to tell Scott.
So dumb.
I want to tell Scott that I gave it 3 stars. You gave it 5. And the reason it got 3 from me is because of that dance. That's what I want to tell him. But the truth is,
that's what I want to say.
The truth is,
you can quote me on that,
right? Yeah.
But I'm not going to actually say it.
The truth is, sometimes we get distracted. We focus on all these other things, and the obvious thing, I to be quite honest, I forgot about it until you mentioned that Scott reminded us as well.
Because we had both effectively blocked it from our mind.
I have the PTSD about it.
I don't want to know that it's there.
Now that I think back on it, I feel like it's almost so obvious. This isn't even just trying to weasel out of it, but I feel like it's so obvious that
you don't need to mention it. Right.
But maybe what Scott is looking for is acknowledgement. And he's got it. We missed that one. Though we didn't miss it, we missed mentioning it. Or maybe he's making sure that we didn't genuinely like it.
I think that was part of it.
In which case, we're acknowledging that too. It was just so obvious to me. I was more focused on the disappointment and the absurdity, which this fits. Like,
yeah.
Why didn't I put that in? I didn't.
Yeah, it's weird that we both didn't mention
it. Usually one of us would be like, hey, man, what was that?
The big things one of us will get, but I do feel like that's what Scott was after, right? He really wanted to I want to know what I need to know because I need to know if I need to dump this podcast.
I was just going to say, I think we got Scott listening again, so sorry about that. But yeah, the good call, Scott, and I think we're pretty good when a film is good or bad, nailing what really is. And it's not always just one thing, but there's a laundry list sometimes of the attributes that are positive or negative. And sometimes we just
It's not like that makes or breaks the movie, right? Like if you took that out, all of a sudden we'd love it or something. Right. But it is one of the horrible, horrible parts of it. Anyway,
and that's a good question, because certainly if he didn't enjoy it and he found that to be maybe one of the big linchpins of the,
I think that's when he left.
Yeah,
he was like that. I'm out.
And then I can just picture this guy looking
at us. I can see that happening,
and he's
too.
Like, they're going to talk about that's this what in a minute. I'm going to be validated. And then we're done, and he's like, what the hell?
Yeah. He lost a bet to somebody himself.
Yeah.
I bet they'll mention it. They're going to talk about that because that's the most horrible thing.
Anyway, that's cool. We love the emails. That's awesome. And
right. So, as I said,
that's a good one. I like that.
As I said, I'm going to just run through the big laundry list of garbage that's going to get nominated, just so that people know what to pay attention to and people are aware and know what they better go see if they care about this sort of stuff. So Best Picture, right? This is a year where Best Picture is kind of, oddly broad.
They're gonna have 30,
right?
They can any number.
They're
now,
the
right?
New algorithm it's for the Oscars,
10, isn't it? It's still,
I don't know.
Who knows what they do?
I feel like the Oscars said they were going to change it.
Yeah, I did too. And they
at the beginning of the year,
right.
And then nothing ever came of that.
I
could be misremembering that. I could be wrong, but
I feel like
right after the awards last year, there was some talk about changing it again. And then you never heard anything about it.
I never did.
Because the whole 10 thing is good in its own way, especially some years.
Right.
Some years when, when it's 5, right, it was like year after year after year, there'd be 5. And there'd be like that 6th movie and everyone would go nuts, right?
Right.
Or there'd be a couple of them or whatever. This movie got robbed or something. And then they changed it and everyone went, what the hell is that? because then you had at least 2 or 3 movies, because you had all these 10 years, right?
Yep.
And the Critics' Choice does 10 and is sticking with it as far as I know.
Right.
Right. But every year you get at least 2 or 3 movies that get to say they're Oscar nominated.
Right.
That do not have the slightest chance in hell of winning.
Right.
And that's like, even in a crazy year, right? you want to have, that's why I like five so much, mm-hmm. because you're going to have those years where you absolutely know which movie's winning, right?
Right.
But you want to feel like all five have some kind of shot at it, right?
Right.
Like the Vegas odds are not going to be so long.
Right.
Right. That, and when you got 10, it just doesn't work out. Anyway, so best picture, like I said, just running through these, La La Land, obviously, is a movie that everyone is talking about.
Right.
It's probably, you know, the number one front runner to get nominated. I don't know if it's the number one front runner to win.
Right.
But there's virtually no chance that it will get nominated for every award everywhere because everyone is going goofy over that movie. Anyway, then Fences, Denzel Washington's in a movie, so that's going to get nominated. Moonlight is like a little movie that everyone is talking about that should get nominated.
Yeah.
Everyone is really going crazy for that movie, and it's cool.
Right.
Anyway, it's not like garbage.
It
but
is cool.
Lion is a movie that people are doing a lot of talking about, but I'm not, and especially if you've got 10 movies, it could get nominated,
right?
Because it's got that like touchy feely, you know, Oscar-y thing going on with it. And, so people are going to like that. I don't think it has much chance to actually get anywhere, but it's one that is probably going to get nominated. Silence, is very likely to get nominated.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Denzel Washington made a movie, Tom Hanks made a movie, Martin Scorsese made a movie.
Yep.
That's just what happens. Manchester by the Sea is another movie that everyone is talking about.
That hasn't lost steam.
And that is another thing that that movie has going for it is that people keep talking about it. You remember a couple years ago, there were a bunch of movies that in October, everyone was all over them.
Right.
And then they never even got nominated,
right?
Like, what was that Reese Witherspoon movie?
Yeah.
That was a big thing like a couple years ago because at the outset, everyone was like, hooray for this.
Right.
And then everyone got over it.
Right.
It was like, which is why everything comes out in December. I mean,
right.
if you're confused at all about why all these movies come out on Christmas Day.
Right.
Or whatever.
And one of the reasons why it was so weird that Fury Road still kept getting
mentioned,
that was in the summer, early summer, right?
It was real early. It was like
weird.
April or something. Right. It was real early.
Yeah.
Anyway, Manchester by the Sea, I think that's an absolute lock for nomination anyway.
Yeah.
And then we'll see how that plays out. Arrival, Loving is getting a lot of attention. Hidden Figures is obviously one that people are talking a lot about. Hidden Figures is the it's the black women who, you know, work for NASA,
did
all the math.
Yeah. Right.
You know, it's like a weird, it's a weird new thing now where like every year there has to be a math movie or something related to like math or science, right? Yeah, it's The Imitation Game,
right.
The Theory of Everything.
Right.
It's like all of a sudden, do a math movie every year, right? Who's another math person?
This is awesome.
Okay, 20th Century Women.
Yep.
That one is definitely getting a lot of attention. And I think it's quite frankly going to ride on the actress attention that it's getting. So then you have to talk about the movie, right? So. I don't know that that's really a strong contender for best of the year. You've got Hell or High Water, Hacksaw Ridge, Florence Foster Jenkins, which is a little too fun, probably. Live by Night is one that is people are talking about it right now because Ben Affleck and the whole thing. That could be one that runs into some trouble by the time it gets to Oscar time.
Right.
Because maybe it won't actually be great.
Right.
Nocturnal Animals is not exactly in strong contention.
Right.
People are talking about it. And it's crazy cool.
Right.
So who knows? It's another one where a lot of people are talking about Jake Gyllenhaal. People are talking about Amy Adams. I don't even know what they're submitting her for in that movie, if it's actress or like supporting because movie? Of yeah, what he does. I don't know. I think it's probably actress because there are no other people in the movie.
Right, there's no other lead.
But so lots of people are talking about Jake Gyllenhaal there, even though he's not even probably in like really strong contention
right.
to win.
Right.
But then you have to pay attention to the movie
right.
and then more people see the movie and then, you know, whatever. Gold, which not out yet. And I don't think that movie even comes out until like late January or something, but it's still a movie in contention.
Yep.
And then you've got like Allied, Love and Friendship, Cafe Society, which is Woody Allen, Amazon
right.
movie.
Yep.
Love and Friendship is an Amazon movie. That's Whit Stillman, which
yep.
is actually a really awesome movie. The Dressmaker, The Handmaiden is a movie that has so many people talking about it. And it's one of those that might get nominated, even though it's a foreign movie, because so many
right.
people like
yeah.
it and think it's awesome. And it's a good movie where, like, you know, you're a movie critic or you're a member of the Academy, and then you get to be really,
yeah, right.
You get to be really cool
if you
nominate that,
yeah,
right?
Right?
Like, I'm so cool that right. I nominated that. And then you've got real long shots like A Monster Calls, even though that looks like a pretty cool movie, but it's,
yeah.
you know, a long shot. And Patterson is the
right.
Jim Jarmusch movie. It's Adam Driver. It's very, you know, obviously art house indie
right.
thing,
yeah.
but you never know, like, especially
you
when you have
know.
10.
Right. Right.
And even some people are talking about The Lobster, which goes back way to the beginning of the year with Colin Firth.
Mm-hmm.
It's a crazy, awesome movie. I don't think it even has a chance to get nominated legitimately, but people are still talking about it because maybe more people will see it
right.
if they,
right.
if they talk about it. But he is actually getting talked about a little bit.
Huh.
So best actor, we're just going to, you know, run through stuff real quick. Obviously Denzel Washington made a movie. People are talking about Casey Affleck getting nominated, Manchester by the Sea. Tom Hanks made a movie.
Right.
Joel Edgerton in Loving. He's pretty likely to get nominated, I think. And then this is, you know, sort of goes down the list. Who knows how this list will be? I'm not ranking all these. Like,
right.
this is the order of anything, right?
Yeah.
But you've got Viggo Mortensen in Captain Fantastic, which is a little indie movie that has broken out pretty
yeah.
significantly, too, mostly because of him.
Right.
Because a lot of people are saying that he's so awesome. Ryan Gosling in La La Land, Andrew Garfield in Hacksaw Ridge, Michael Keaton in The Founder, Jake Gyllenhaal, like I already said, Adam Driver, even some people are talking about, Ben Affleck, maybe, I don't know. That one is a real long shot on that movie.
Right.
Because that is a movie where, you know, people might just be waiting for the backlash against Ben Affleck.
Right.
That movie needs to be really good.
Right. Or Batfleck is.
Or yeah.
They always seem to line up just to swing at him, you know. Right,
exactly.
Weird.
And like when The Accountant came out,
yep.
it, you know, he got lucky.
Right.
That was actually pretty good.
Pretty good.
I mean, I didn't love it, but
right.
it was pretty
it was
good.
Passable, and it was good when it needed to be. Yeah.
And that's a movie that easily could have had everyone just.
I saw people
bouncing off the walls, right?
That.
Yeah,
yeah.
There
I
were.
Mean, they were really, really waiting.
There are, which is funny because.
He's such a weird guy.
He is, because people like want to hate him.
They really do.
There are enough
yeah.
people out there
it's
that
weird.
Go to that give
yeah.
him the money just because they want to get. And then the movie's over and they're like, fine.
Yeah, I guess. That was all right.
And also, finally, Michael Fassbender in Light Between Oceans. And
you're going to say Assassin's Creed. I'm like,
yeah,
that's going to
yeah.
that's gonna run.
And best actress, okay, Annette Bening in 20th Century Woman, Emma Stone in La La Land, who could have like a real shot
yeah.
at taking that
huh.
because that's just this
that's
year,
how good it
apparently.
Is, huh?
That's just what's happening this year.
Yeah.
Jessica Chastain in Miss Sloan, Natalie Portman in Jackie, Ruth Negga in Loving. Amy Adams is probably going to get nominated no matter what happens.
Or which though.
But right. Is it gonna be a rival? Is it gonna be Nocturnal Animals?
Yeah.
Is it going to be both?
If it was both, that would be amazing.
That would rock. Isabel Hubert, I think is how you pronounce her name, in L, which is another foreign movie that kind of has taken the world by storm because it's about crazy stuff.
Oh.
It's actually a really good movie. Taraji P. Henson in Hidden Figures, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think she might get nominated, but I don't know. It's, I don't think it's that good. I think she's just a name that's out there at this point. And it's just, I don't know. The movie is not that fantastic. It's just that it's it makes you feel good for voting for it. So maybe lots of people will vote for it. I don't know.
Right.
Marion Cotillard in Allied, possibly, and Meryl Streep is in a movie, so it's likely that she will get nominated. She's in Florence Foster Jenkins, and that's it for that.
Right.
There is the problem with this year, even more than other years, is that there are several things where people are probably going to get nominated, and I'm going to end up kind of pissed off about it because Tom Hanks is not that great. I didn't think I didn't think he was that awesome. I think he just was in a movie.
Right.
And so people are going to nominate him because he was in a movie. And, you know, Amy Adams should really let some other women make movies. Right.
That's Mark Eastman.
There are a lot of people for actor and actress who aren't going to get nominated, who really probably deserve to be in lots of other movies than I mentioned,
right?
Who have no chance because certain people did make movies or certain directors made movies or whatever the case may be. And this is a year where I really liked a lot of stuff, and I'm not going to go into it right now because we'll do our best list later. But there are a lot of going through stuff like nominate people for best actor, best supporting actor, best supporting actress.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, these are like the 10 that have any shot of getting nominated.
Yeah.
These are the other four I want to nominate.
Nominate them. You're a voting member. Get them in
there. I'm saying I will. Yeah,
you're a part of the
program. I will, but it won't get me anything. Right.
Right. Peace of mind. Your son will.
I'll feel better about myself.
Right. Yeah.
But it won't change who gets nominated.
Right,
anyway.
Right.
So the nominations, I believe, are announced tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
So look for those. And once again, the Critics' Choice is December 11th on A&E. And you don't want to miss that because it's fantastic. Right.
Yeah.
And it's hosted again by T.J. Miller, who did it last year.
Oh, yeah. Right.
And I thought he was really good.
Yeah, he did good.
He's not maybe your, you know, I hate to say this, but I'm just trying to
be real. Here we go.
Just trying to deliver, I guess, an idea of what I'm trying to talk about. Right.
Yeah.
He might not be asked to the Oscars next year off the back of his work at the Critics' Choice because it's a different thing.
Right.
Right. But I thought it was really good, and I thought he was a lot of fun, and I thought that the show was really good last year. So anyway, moving on to actual movies.
Right.
Right. Now that you've got all that in your head and don't know what to do with it and have to see like 40 movies by the end of next month.
Way to assign homework.
Yeah.
You know.
So now it's Allied and Rules Don't Apply. Allied, Brad Pitt. Did I just say Brett Pitt?
I think
Brad,
you said Brett. I don't know who that guy was.
Brad Pitt and Marion Cotillard. Oh,
right.
Now the phone's ringing.
Phones, we got a line.
Yeah, someone's on the line.
Right.
Anyway, it's
Zemeckis film.
World War II. It's Robert Zemeckis, who at this point, I think I said even on the show, he scares me at this point. 20 years ago, if there was a Robert Zemeckis film, everyone would have been there.
Right.
And now I'm like, I don't know. He's kind of hit or miss for me. And I think that he has made a few movies in like the last 10 years, 15 years, whatever, that I don't know. He gets away from himself, I think, sometimes. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Allied. And as you know from the trailer, it's all about spy-ness.
Right.
And who is or isn't a spy. In the trailer, they actually give away a lot of what happens. And because you know in the trailer that the question is, right. we think your wife's a spy.
Right.
And then you have to watch the movie. And right. there, and there's like an hour before before we get anywhere right. to this whole spy business. Right. And it's a little weird, I think, for a trailer. You have to kind of give the idea of what's going on, I guess.
Yeah.
But when you've got that kind of question going into things and you give it away in the trailer the way that the trailer does.
Yeah.
And then the audience has to sit there
uh-huh.
and watch them, you know, do this first job, get to know each other and everything like that. It's a little weird. I feel right. like it would be, I would like to see what happens when somebody watches this movie and never heard of it at all. Never saw the trailer, doesn't know anything.
Right.
It's kind of a different thing because you're watching everything happen going, well, is she or isn't she? And
right.
like going into the first run, right.
Yeah.
That should be like when you rewatch it
right.
and you go, did they give anything they, away
yeah.
or, you know, whatever. But now they say that in the trailer, and it's a little weird. But anyway, before we review the whole movie, I gave this one 7.5.
I was off by half.
You're allowed to be off by half.
Yeah, pretty close. I consider if I'm off by half, I'm guessing anything I was on.
Right. So did you give me 7 or 8?
I gave you 7.
Okay.
I thought you had 7.
Yeah, and there were parts of this movie that I really liked, and in the first like 25 minutes, I thought this might be like a 9.
Yeah,
but it might
because it starts.
It might end up being really good.
Yeah,
because it did. It played everything out in a really interesting way,
yep.
and it was really old school, right? It
right.
was like watching a Hitchcock movie or something.
I agree.
It was very, very cool. And then it got to a point where it just went, okay, now we're just like on the plateau
right.
for a really long time. And we're just going through everything in a, you know, very methodical, easy way. We know exactly where we're going to get to.
Yeah.
And we don't want the movie to be a half hour long. So we'll have to do a bunch of stuff. And
right.
it was very weird. It was a weird, wasn't even like exactly the pacing of it. It was just the, like, why are we doing this stuff for so long when there was all this cool stuff at the beginning?
Right.
And then we just have to, like, it's like the movie tries to convince you that they're really in love for like a really long time.
Right.
And it's not sure how to do it. And it's not even absolutely sure why it's doing it. It just goes, it's a question about his wife. And is she a spy? And we know we have to get there. So we better make it like they're really in love for a long time.
Right.
And it just, it was weird. So there was a lot of stuff that I liked. And I even liked Brad Pitt pretty well in this. And I don't generally love him. I mean,
yeah.
he's good when he's good. And he's okay when he's okay or whatever. He's not someone that I, you know, immediately love everything they do. But I liked him pretty good in this, and Marion Cotillard was about as good as she's ever been, which is really good. she is a seriously awesome actress.
Yeah.
And, you know, there again, I mean, her and Amy Adams, once you're good at something, it's like you're in every other movie
right.
that comes out.
Right.
I mean, nobody ever heard of her 5 years ago,
yeah.
and now she's in like every third movie. Last year when she was in Macbeth, with Michael Fassbender, that would, they both were
yeah.
insanely good. And now she's in this, she's in like six,
she's busy.
She's like in like 6 things that are in production right now.
Right.
It's like, I don't know what she does with her day, but,
yeah.
but she's everywhere. And she was really good in it, but the movie had a lot of problems that, you know, I won't go into right now. What's your rating? 2.
No, I gave it a 6.5, and I almost begrudgingly gave it that high. I
wanted to give it 5.
This doesn't ruin anything. The very first shot is just this like bright sun, and you're right. The moment I'm watching it, I'm like, all right, establishing credit, whatever. And then
right.
just this body starts falling.
Right.
And I'm like, huh, okay, wait a minute. And then, you know, there's a moment where We don't have a soft introduction to Brad Pitt. His character basically walks into a scene and you are on your feet running to catch up. Like, you have to pay attention. They're telling you everything you need to know without telling you anything you need to know, because it's all happening right now. So hurry, watch.
Right.
And for the first 40 minutes of the movie, I was surprised at how engaged I was with it, because it really sets up just the singular act. He's a spy, she's a spy, they have a job to do, and it is all about establishing their cover, their rapport, their trust, their distrust, and they do it very deftly. And for 40 minutes, which is a little less than half the running time, maybe that sounds like a lot just to establish something that isn't even in the trailer.
Right.
But it's very good. It's very effective. It's very briskly paced and in a positive way.
Right. And it really sucks you in. And it got to a point where I almost thought maybe this whole whether or not she's a spy thing isn't even what this movie's about.
Right.
Maybe that's like a little segue thing, but really we're getting to a whole other thing.
Right.
You don't. So that's
right. There was,
but the movie sucks you in and is really interesting and gets you like thinking about that stuff.
Yeah. And it does it in a way that was even though I know it's trying to go at a brisk pace to set up what the trailer has established later, which is this is she or isn't she kind of thing. Like, I loved all the soft, easy scenes, like when they're at the diner and he thinks he sees someone that would recognize him and how he handles that. That's perfect.
Right.
And when later they're practicing their marksmanship and there's a difficulty and he addresses it, and I thought that was perfect. And it just establishes who they are and who they're going to be for this part of the film.
Especially because, like, in that part, right, he's being more of a jerk
than
he needs to be.
Right.
But he's not doing it because he's that much of a jerk.
Right.
He's doing it because it's like his job to be that jerk at her.
At that time.
Right it was great.
It was effective. And I found them to be very interesting together. When they meet their mission and the conclusion of that, basically there's a 5-minute lapse and then the movie jumps ahead a year and a half. So it's been very strange. We spend 40 minutes of the movie watching the lead up to this one event, which is about, I think they qualify it like 7 to 10 days. It's a little over a week or about
the
film. And then there's like a resolution to that whole thing. And then it's like a flash forward into the next year and a half. And that happens in 5 minutes. And that felt very clumsy and awkward and forced and understandable, because again, they've sold this film on the illusion of this trailer. And I think that strangely,
right. From the trailer, you would think that you're getting like an hour of nothing but that.
Once again, a Robert Zemeckis film shows everything it doesn't need to in a trailer that ruins so much of what would have been fun just unfolding before you.
Right.
If they could have somehow trusted the draw power, which I think is interesting, you used to be able to just put Brad Pitt in a film and who cares what it's about.
Right.
You're going to come see it. And Marion Cotillard is, you know, again, she's gaining so much
with
all of her work
We had that by the sea thing last year where you thought the both of them were in that exact same position.
Right.
We could just put either one of them
and
we've got both of them
right.
and no one showed up.
So then they said, there's a weird thing that happens though, for me, that takes away from the film, because it almost stops moving. It was so fun to have that first 40 minutes move the way it did. And I thought, like you did, I thought as a spy film, this feels very old, like not dusty, but like a homage to other films that were like built upon this kind of pattern and pacing. And I feel like once they get married, it almost comes to a screeching halt, peppered with a couple scenes that are really interesting and provocative. But I also found that I didn't see them. I don't know why they did this either. There was like a real sense of chemistry with them in the first 40 minutes. And then after that, until the last 20 minutes. So I'm really talking about a period of maybe 35 or 40 minutes in the movie, but I think it's an important part. I don't feel any chemistry.
No, all of a sudden,
very flat.
And all of a sudden, they are very.
And it's not because they're supposed to be distancing from each other.
It's like they're brother and sister.
Right.
No, it's just like they're.
Yeah.
It's like what happened is they went from falling in love and him, you know, crazily asking her to marry him.
Right.
They go from that craziness, and then they say it's a year later.
Yeah.
It's almost like it should be 20 years later.
Right.
Right. Like right. we're and, like we are way established in our routine of being married.
Yeah.
And it's almost like we're sort of bored with the idea whatever it is.
It,
I don't know.
It almost feels like, you know, most movies are shot out of order, too. It almost feels
right.
that 40 minutes I'm talking about was the first 2 weeks that they worked. And then they shot the stuff later when they're supposed to first meet each other after they got along with each other. Well.
Right.
And literally Brad and Marion, like once they understood who they were.
Right. They shot that other, better. They shot that other stuff first.
Me anyway.
And like somebody told her that Brad Pitt was talking trash about her.
Right. There's a weird aloofness there that they're both skilled enough with what they show earlier. And even in their other work, but they're both skilled enough to portray an aloofness and a suspicion, he of her motives and whether she's the German spy they say in the movie, and her of his changing behavior, like the scene where after they've been intimate and she's like, you were different with me last night.
Right.
You know, there's a moment there where there's supposed to be a wedge coming between them, but it doesn't feel like there's a wedge there. It feels like you got two strangers on a bus and they have to talk to each other for a minute. Like
right.
it just doesn't feel the same. I will say that I thought that the end wasn't, it wasn't bad. I'm not going to give it away either. But I thought it finally started picking up some steam right around the time he starts putting the pieces together.
Right.
And he has to make decisions. And despite the last 30 minutes of the film, more so the first 40 minutes of the film, I believed it. Like
right.
I thought this is what that guy would do.
Right. It only gets to... It's maybe even like the last 15 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly where it is, but somewhere around there, it's almost like it just starts again.
It picks up. And all of a sudden, it's almost more spy stuff.
And
the moment is about more spy things, cleaning up the loose ends, the circuits he has to resolve. The moment that kicks in, it like gets life again.
But it feels like when you're watching it, right, the first part and the end is really the part that people were interested in making.
Right.
And the middle part
right.
was the people making it. Like Robert Zemeckis is going, we have to have this.
Right.
You have to have you have to fill in a bunch of this stuff because
yep.
otherwise it doesn't make sense that you're where you are at the end. Right. If we don't do a whole bunch of, really selling them falling in love, because in the beginning mm-hmm. when he says, so come marry me, right? They're not in love.
Right.
They barely know each other.
Right.
It's this total like love at first sight kind of idea.
And a survivalism. Like we just went through this.
Right,
together.
Right.
And
it's like we have to actually sell all this part in the beginning because otherwise if we got to the end, right, he'd just go home and shoot her in the head.
Right.
He'd just go, well, whatever, she's a spy.
Yep.
So we have to do all this stuff where they fall in love, they have a kid that's
yep.
very emotional. We have to not only show a kid there.
Yeah.
And I thought this was actually for me very cheap Robert Zemeckis
mm-hmm.
work at this point, which was kind of disappointing
yeah.
because that first part, like we're saying, that's all really good and
yeah.
it's kind of old school, but
right.
not only that, and not only is it kind of homage, right?
Right.
But it's actually really good at, you know, it's not just copying what people like Alfred Hitchcock did.
Right.
It's like trying to do what he was trying to do.
Right.
Not just
the ambition of
not just
that.
Be really copying it
right.
and going, this feels exactly like this, but it was really good, right? And
yeah.
then everything in the middle, it's kind of lazy, it's boring. It just slows down like to a dead stop. And this it's really for me, lazy Robert Zemeckis screenplay mm-hmm. when you have to actually watch or have the kid, right?
Yeah.
Because
right.
because that's really seriously emotional. Look, they really, really love
right.
each other because watch the kid being born.
Right.
Right. And it's like, really? Because if you want him to be in love, right. I don't know. It just, it was so, and it has to be during an explosion.
Right.
And
there's
it's
a
like,
big war scene
yeah.
going on.
Like everything has to happen at one time, you know?
Right.
And it just felt so much like, being manipulative
mm-hmm.
in trying to display emotions when you don't need that stuff. Look at all this other stuff you did that was really good. You didn't have all
right.
this, you know, nonsensical garbage going on, even when you had weird moments that I thought were a little odd, like when he kills the one German in the phone booth, right? Yeah. That was a little, that was almost paying homage to the parts that we didn't want right. even then, right? Right? It's like, yeah, that seems like something that would happen in right. a 1950s movie,
right?
But it's not what I want to leave in if I right. remake it now, right?
Right.
It was very odd. It was very like film noir, like
right.
kooky
right.
almost, right? But I still liked it, right?
I
it
too.
Still was. It
I
still
like
was like. But
lot.
Look,
like,
that was really
right.
cool, right?
Yeah.
And then you go into this other part, and it's like, you know, he just checked out.
Right.
He just went, I don't know. We have to do something to get
yeah.
here. And then the, you know, your audience is like, but wait,
right.
like,
right?
But I'm still here, and I want
so,
good stuff, right?
Exactly. This is a little over 2 hours. I guess 2 hours and 5 minutes or so, and. You know, I really liked an hour of it.
Yeah.
You know, I think
yeah.
an hour of this movie is like nine. I do. And then the stuff that really didn't work, which was frustrating and didn't make a whole lot of sense consistently to the story, really dragged a lot of it down. And
yeah.
and there were other things like, you know, you're talking about, you know, Bob Zemeckis's, clearly his thumbprint is now on things. When they're together inside the sandstorm in the car, and it is 100% awful looking CGI that I distinctly
right.
felt when I was watching. I'm like, what'd you do that for? Like I stopped, not
right.
the movie, but I stopped being in the movie. And that's actually in the part of the movie that I like the most. And I'm just like, there were some times where these effects that you did were very like, he's like, remember that thing I did in Forrest Gump with the feather?
Right. Like
some of that.
Throw some of that in.
It just feels so weirdly tacked on in a way. And none of that had to do with what I had hoped. And I don't think I'm going to get fooled by Bob Zemeckis anymore. You know, there are some films
right.
that he's done and set up, and he is a talented guy, but I just think he's spinning in his own circle.
I think he is too. And like when I said I was scared, or I was at least pretty nervous going into this because of him, because
yeah.
when he's good, he's good.
He's
still
really good. Yeah.
But for a long time, that's what I think. Like I'm starting to think he doesn't have another 10 in him.
Yeah. Well, right.
I don't know if he can put out a movie that I'm going to go, yep.
You know what's
10.
Really funny? I'm not going to give away anything about this film. Really. I'm not. But when I saw the preview and I thought if he's got a real interesting story there, and the guy that was the screenwriter has done some really interesting things. It would be interesting if it was like a film I love and not many people have seen. I think you've probably seen it. It's this Kevin Costner 80s film, No Way Out. Where
oh, sure.
It's is he a Russian spy or isn't he?
Right.
That thing is as tense and as fast and as fun because you never know until the end who's who and what's what. I actually started thinking maybe Bob Zemeckis did this film where wouldn't it be a kick if Brad Pitt was the spy?
Right.
Or maybe neither of them are. Or is it going to be like where he makes a decision and he finds out he was wrong? And now, you know, there are all these great things.
But you've totally given it away now.
I haven't said a thing.
Everyone can figure out exactly what happens. But I was kind of in the same boat. And the closer we got to the end,
right.
And you know, the problem, even though, you know, it's only 7.5. 7.5's not a bad rating, right?
Not bad at all.
Because there was a lot of it that was good. And the reason that it gets to
yeah.
stay at 7.5
right.
is that all of the stuff that I don't like about it
yeah.
were things that were just kind of disappointing.
Right.
Like I wish they were better. Not like that was awful and I hate it and there's a mating dance
not
or
like
whatever.
I was just going to say not
and
like Newt dancing.
And it's like
yeah.
crushingly
right.
taking points off because it's horrible,
right.
awful stuff.
Right.
It's still a really fun movie and people are going to enjoy it. And
yeah.
the things that bring it down are just things that are disappointing. And that
yeah.
ultimately became one of the disappointments. The yeah. longer the movie goes on, the more you start to hope
right.
that it's something
yeah.
a little different, that it's
yep.
that it's not just the totally straightforward thing. And I will say, if you hang in with this movie and are not as disappointed by the disappointing things that
yeah.
we were disappointed with, the ending will kick your ass.
Yeah, I agree.
It's
yep.
I don't know if it's the best ending or the ending that I want, because I want a more complex thing to go on
right.
than what would make it so you could have that ending.
Mm-hmm.
But It's a pretty good ending.
As endings go, it's a pretty good ending.
And it is and you're not going to watch it again.
Right.
I don't think there's a lot of replay value in this.
No.
Because if you liked it enough to watch it again, then you liked it too much to watch it again. Because then when you think about watching it again, you're going to go, I'll watch that again.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's your warning.
Yeah.
And but, and you know, it
you
is
it,
still a very fun movie.
Strangely, you were right. This is one of these films where we talk about, is this the film we get in the trailer? You know, I actually kind of wish I had never seen the trailer.
Right. I mean, it,
you know,
it is the movie you get in the trailer.
It is.
But it's not a good thing at this point.
Right.
Seriously, I would say if there are people out there who have not seen the trailer, don't.
Right, just go. Go check it out.
Just don't watch the trailer
and
see the movie.
Absolutely.
All right. So that's Allied. Rules don't apply.
Yeah.
Which, as I said, I'm pretty sure is wide, but it might be limited right now and go wider next week.
I'm gonna look.
Anyway, rules don't apply. Warren Beatty is Howard Hughes, and as we see in the trailer, he's got like his new driver and his new actress that he's got under contract,
right.
Which this is, you know, kind of one slice in the very weird pie that is Howard Hughes, and
right.
and it's inspired by the real life of Howard Hughes.
Right.
There's a lot of real stuff in it.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of liberties taken with it, but it is kind of, you know, circling this area of the real part of his life that was kind of the downward spiral.
Right.
And it's also the very real part of his life that he would have actresses under contract at RKO. And I think he owned like something else
too.
But in this movie, anyway, we focus on RKO Pictures.
Right.
And he would have these actresses that he would set up in a house. He would have them under contract to be actresses to work in his studio. It was all very strange. He would have an apartment for them. They would have a driver. They would they would get, like in the movie it says, they get $400 a month or week or month. I think it's
a month. Man.
But they also get the free house they're living in, and they've got the driver to do whatever.
Yeah.
And often would never do anything with them.
Right.
Often would never see these people.
Yeah.
This focuses on one that he did see, right?
Right.
But there are many of them that he never saw at all. Never. I mean, they just lived in the house. They would go to the studio once in a while. Like, we see there's like acting classes. We get little touches of there's acting classes, there's screen tests or whatever. Some of them never met him.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's very, you wouldn't want to do that these days. Right.
Right.
You would not get away with that now.
Right.
Because it's just too weird. But he would get these actresses, and sometimes it was because, I mean, some of them did become people who were in his movies, and some of them are very famous now, right?
Right.
And some of them did work some in movies. Some of them, at least some people obviously speculate, some people he just got under contract so no one else would be able to use them in their pictures, and he had the money to do it. And he had insane money.
Right.
And if he had to set up someone just so that no one else could use them or whatever, I mean, it's like trying to figure out why crazy people do things, and that's just not a thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Warren Beatty is Howard Hughes. I gave this one a 4.5.
Because I actually
liked a lot of it,
yeah.
And I really hated a lot of it.
Yeah.
And a lot of it was just the longer this picture went on, the more my rating went down.
Yeah.
When I first started watching it, I didn't have real high hopes for it anyway. But when I first started watching it for like the first 20, 25 minutes, I was like, oh, damn, I have to like this.
Right.
Because it started out actually pretty good.
Yeah.
And it started out, you didn't get a hell of a lot of Warren Beatty. And the more he's in it, the less I liked it. And the more he's in it, and the more that it became really focused on his crazy.
Right.
Instead of the two people.
Right.
The more that it went down that road, I was just like, whatever. I don't care. He's crazy.
Yeah.
It loses any ability for me to be interesting. And it starts to feel so much like Warren Beatty wrote the screenplay. Warren Beatty obviously, you know, can make whatever movie he says he's going to make, and someone's going to give him a lot of money, and everyone's going to show up to be in it, and it doesn't matter. And the more the movie went on, the more it just was like this bonkers passion project that I can't figure out why he's so enamored with Howard Hughes or having this be a thing, or, you know, what he's trying to, like, you know, crazily say about himself. Like, there's something in this movie where it really begins to have delusions of grandeur. Like, it starts talking to you like you already know that it's awesome.
Right.
And so I can just say this, and you get it because you know this is awesome.
Right.
And I don't know, it's very weird. And then I ended up being so bored and kind of hating everything that was happening. And, you know, the only thing that I ended up liking from beginning to end was Matthew Broderick.
Yeah.
Who was really good.
Yeah.
But is also like wallpaper in the movie. Right. But he was good.
Yeah.
I did like the other, two people. But by the time you get to the end, I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
And there's still some fun, but I feel like most of the fun in the movie is just lost in the weird fog of what's happening.
Yeah.
And it just went in so many different directions, and ultimately I just couldn't like it. So
picking out Matthew Broderick as the shining star is just absolutely just funny to me. Not because of it, not because I don't agree with it. It's just, he's the one. Cause strangely enough, this is like one of these films that when you're a big Hollywood guy and you're making a film, you can get everybody in it.
Right.
What the hell is with Ed Harris in it for 3 seconds?
I know. I don't
know. And Steve Coogan for 3 seconds.
I know.
3 seconds.
There are people in this movie.
It's like a cameo fest. It reminds me of like The Player. And you just walk down the street and you're like, hey, Nicholson.
Except,
hey, Cruise.
Except that it doesn't do it, right?
It doesn't do anything with them.
It's just like. There are people in the credits who don't have names.
Yeah,
the characters don't have names,
yeah.
And yet it's Ed Harris,
it's some big person. I mean, you know, there's been a couple films seen like that lately, and in a way, I felt like what he really wanted to do was make something that was kind of Coen Brothers, Hail Caesar-ish.
Right.
Because that's when it works with the weird humor, bizarre characters, strange, you know, overlapping storyline. Like, it feels like that's what it really is trying to become.
Right.
And it never really gets there at all. I gave it a 6.
Oh.
I thought, despite your recommendation.
How did you get to 6?
I'll tell you. And this is a really, really weird thing for me because it doesn't happen very often. I found it to be charming as much as I was bored. Like, I liked the performances I was seeing.
I think that's true, like, for the first half,
yeah,
maybe.
Well,
then it lost me.
This won't,
but
this
anyway.
Won't change anybody's mind. For us, it's pretty standard. At 2 hours and 6 or 10 minutes, this thing is 20 to 30 minutes too long. If it had been an hour and a half to an hour and 40 minutes, I think it would have been sharp and something between a Hail Caesar and a Woody Allen, like, thing. Like, there's an avenue here of whatever Warren Beatty is trying to share about what might not even be Howard Hughes, but what he remembers of Howard Hughes,
but
what he thinks.
But also, it's like this whole weird play about the movie world,
which trying to do so much.
Which it almost feels like by the time you're done with this movie, it feels like it's only about that. Because it's the Academy who will vote for it. And if it's about movies, then the Academy will vote for it.
And Warren Beatty is steadfast in his Hollywood reputation and belovedness amongst all the people there. So they're gonna like this for liking it. You know? And it's good to see Warren doing something.
Yeah.
The problem here is that there's a decision to be made and he couldn't make it. And because he's been doing this, you know, I read something where he was trying to get this done for 40 years, which is believable. Like I've known he's had a power to use thing for a long time. And when you try to do something for so long, it goes through a lot of iterations, and then maybe you're just too close to it because it feels like the editing is one of the story and the editing are the big problems here for me. The best part of the thing is if he'd made a decision and stuck with it instead of what he did, which is steal the film away from the two characters,
Frank
and Marla. And their story was actually very engaging with him being in the periphery. And it almost felt like when he was looking at the cut, he had to be like, no, I got to be in this more. I'm Howard Hughes.
Right.
And he wrests the film away from them in an awkward way. And then it's more about him and whether it's true or fanciful eccentricities of Hughes. Then it's about him and they're just the periphery.
Right.
And it would have succeeded better if he had just chosen one and made it like
when you get to the end part of both of them,
right,
you're so lost from them for so long.
Yep. And to be quite honest, the end, though, I didn't hate the end, but I came pretty close to it. It doesn't satisfy anything except almost to suggest, and they lived happily ever after.
Right.
Like, just roll the music. And if he wanted to end the film like an old RKO film, then I guess he succeeded, but it's terribly unsatisfying.
Right.
And the problem is, after the first hour, when it starts to segue away from them to him, and his weirdness is kind of amusing in places. Like when she's finally started drinking and Oliver Platt is there to give him money for TWA,
right,
screaming, and he just can't get him to say anything but the same friggin' sentence over and over again. It's actually kind of fun to watch that scene, even though that scene takes too long to do.
There, even at the worst parts of the movie, there are still lots of fun bits of it.
It is.
And it does
frustrate.
It does kind of feel like, because there are lots of good bits of it, and there are lots of parts that you can individually in this scene have a lot of fun with.
Yep.
But the problem is that it feels like maybe a movie that you've been trying to make for 30 or 40 years.
Yeah.
And when you've been doing it that long and someone finally says, okay, but do this, then you go, okay, I'll do that.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I'm just so sick of just sitting there and not getting it out.
Right.
That all, you know, you'll, even if you're Warren Beatty, it's like, you'll do whatever it takes to just finally get it done and make it happen.
Yeah.
And then it feels weirdly splotchy, right? It's got like good parts and bad parts. And not only that, but it's got this whole Hollywood thing. It's trying to be like an update of old Hollywood movies.
Yeah.
But it can't decide what movie it's an update of.
Right.
It's like, it's like kind of almost like showgirl type movies.
Yep.
It's like it's like it's part Marx Brothers movie.
I swear there needs to be high paced music and a chase or a footfall on banana peels. Like there's missing
that's
where it wants
and
to
it's
go.
Got this stuff too. Like it's got the banana nut ice cream and that chef.
Right. Right.
That chef who is, you know, complaining about all the ice cream, and like that guy literally is in a Marx Brothers movie. It's trying to update the whole world of film.
Right.
In one big show. It reminded me in a lot of parts of you remember Down with Love, Ewan McGregor and Renee Zellweger, and it was basically an update of Pillow Talk and those movies. It even has scenes that are like directly from Pillow Talk and stuff. And that movie was awesome.
Right.
And no one liked it or saw it or anything.
It didn't matter.
But that movie was great. But that movie just was, you know, this is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Not, and I'm also going to do 10 other things or be five other kinds of movies that I liked in the 60s or, you know, whatever. And this movie, it's just, you know, from one moment to the next, you don't know what movie you're watching or why you're watching it or whatever. And when they get to a point where they abandon the two kids, basically, and everything after that, like I'm out.
I agree.
It's so shut me out of itself that by the time you get to, there's a lot of good stuff at the end with him. It's not terrible when she comes back eventually, except that you can't care in the way that the movie wants me to care, because for so long, it's just been throwing this other stuff. And I feel like there's a different version of this movie, you know, like you said, where there's more of them.
Yeah.
There's more of Matthew Broderick.
Right. Because he is good.
Even though we joked about that now, but there is more of that character's role in this story. That's a way better story because he's there for a reason. And he doesn't get to the reason part of his existence.
Or they just cut it because he wanted him.
Right.
There are times when Beatty effectively humanizes Howard Hughes to the point where even as an eccentric, really strangely unpredictable, bizarre guy who just will get up from talking to you, go in another room and talk to someone in a closet about you.
Right.
You know, that's like so weird. There are moments where both Frank and Lily and actually strangely the scene where Matthew Broderick and he are yelling at each other, like there are peppered moments where he becomes humanized and actually a consideration where by the end of the film where they expect you to have put all the effort in that they couldn't do themselves to make you care about him, you're just kind of left like, man, that would have been sweet if you'd nailed that.
Right.
And I think you could have if you had had the story be more about the two of them with the periphery of Howard Hughes always looming in the background, maybe changing their plans, and pepper him in with more scenes like when they walk to get a hamburger in front of the plane.
Right.
Or when he just shows up to tell her, like, I saw your screen test. You're going to need a few more things. That scene of her drinking and playing the piano and the way he reacts to that song, which sounds so awful in the beginning. And then by the third bar in, he's like, wait, you're bad at this and you sing badly. Great.
Right.
Like, and he can see this and she's loosened up. I would watch, you know, 2 hours of that movie all day long. And I would have been nuts for that.
Right.
Even though I'm not wild about Warren Beatty, I still thought that, I guess, you know, I guess overall the plot and the editing were the big villains here because I really liked all the characters and I liked all the actors doing what they were doing, with the sole exception of Warren Beatty doing too much too often.
Right.
You know, but I think if you trim all that down, I think you've got like an 8 or 9 film here too.
I really do
think that was a lot of stuff he had. He just didn't know how the hell to pull it together.
And especially because there are so many things in this that, like I said, there are these scenes that if you cut all the good scenes out of this movie and just watched all the good scenes together, you would go, obviously, that's an awesome movie.
Right.
Yeah. Because it has a lot of things that are great.
Yeah.
And like you mentioned, that one scene where they're walking down
the
big long thing to have a hamburger.
Yeah.
That scene is really great, especially because they don't explain anything to you. Right. And they never explain anything to you, even for a second.
Right.
And they're walking down this thing. You don't know why they're walking there. You don't know what on earth could make you have a table here that you just suddenly are sit down and have a hamburger.
Yeah.
Who the hell put it there first place and all this stuff. And you're watching it and you're like sucked in by the craziness of it. And it was great.
Yeah.
But it doesn't survive through all of the movie and all of the things that are good. When the girl is good, she's not always. The driver's good, he's not always. When Warren Beatty's good, he's not always. Yep. So you can't every
Matthew Broderick is the only one. He's good
exactly.
Always.
He's good all the time.
Yeah.
He was
really good all the time.
He was even good. Like he stuck out to me in a really weird way because there's this one scene really far towards the end where he started eating ice cream.
Yeah.
And I was like, shut up.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that's even in the script.
Right. He's just doing it.
He was just like, I'm going to do this.
I agree.
He was really good. Anyway, we're well over an hour already. We might as well wrap up. So, unfortunately, like, very disappointing. And both of these movies, I think the thing is just disappointing.
Yeah, that's right.
Not awful or horrible. You still should probably go see them.
They're strong in places, but...
Yeah, I don't know that I can get behind recommending Rules Don't Apply too much, especially because there's so much else
to a certain person,
that you could go see.
To a certain person, I would easily recommend.
Oh yeah, they're gonna love it.
I mean, if to the general audience,
if you have the right person, they're gonna love
person,
this.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Allied, I think I would though.
Allied is still good. You still got to go see that.
Yeah.
You're just gonna be disappointed, but you got to go see it.
And
but
by the end.
But yeah, everyone has to go see it and just to see what happens at the end. And then a lot of people are going to end up pissed at me for saying that.
Right.
You made me watch that.
I
you
love it.
Bastard.
That's right.
Next week, I have no idea. There's no way to, tell you right now what it's going to be next week, but it's probably going to be at least four movies.
Sure.
Because there's too much. We've got the stuff that's actually coming out,
right?
But we're going to start hitting some of the stuff that doesn't release until Christmas.
Jackie comes out and Bad Santa 2, which you renamed in my mind forever now, which is hilarious. But those are the ones that officially come out. But I mean, we've got tons of things.
Yeah, but we're definitely going to start hitting some of the 23rd releases next week.
Okay.
So
cool.
So you've listened to us long enough. Thanks for tuning in. Please share, rate us on iTunes, review us on iTunes, and otherwise trick your friends into listening to us.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Bye.